Hey, Drew.
Hey.
Do you ever get scared?
You know, some nights, lying in my bed, all alone, wind blowing outside, lights out, the cold December creeping in. Yeah, sometimes I get a little scared.
Why?
It's going to take a while. Let's get into this.
All right. John.
And I'm Drew.
And you're listening to The Hourcut,
our ever-growing library of everything, 1 hour at a time.
Scaredy cats.
I know things that scare me. I can think of a lot of things that scare me. I get scared pretty easily.
One. Name one.
One right off the bat?
Yeah, what scares you? One thing.
It's hard to think of stuff that scares me. No. Ghosts.
Ghosts.
Ghosts. Say that, what I just did.
Ghosts.
Ghosts. What's one thing right off the bat that scares you?
Paralysis.
Oh. I think what we're going to do is we're going to talk about stuff that scares us.
Good idea.
And I think we'll try to explore why. And maybe that will be the more general stuff that is scary to people.
We're going to take arms against a sea of troubles and by opposing, end them.
Yes. Good quote.
Yeah. I'm scared of Shakespeare.
Really?
Not really.
You just quoted.
Yeah.
That was weird, but I'm going to allow it.
Okay.
No, but I think we can talk about like the things that people find scary in general.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe explore, well, why? Why is it scary? What are people really afraid of?
Yeah, what's at the root of the scare?
The root thing? Scare.
The scare tree.
Yeah.
What's at the root of the scare tree?
It's like a album title for the Misfits.
Yeah.
Scare tree. Scare tree. Whoa. I want your scare tree. Sorry. I think there are some things that are scary in general. The dark.
The dark.
Let's start there.
Popular.
That's dark. A big one.
It's really about the unknown. Done.
Don't try. You got it. You nailed it.
Circle takes a square.
Well, there's a lot of, you know, I bet you if we asked a scientist who studies evolution,
mm-hmm.
they may tell us that, you know, darkness represents the deep dark of the wilderness when we don't know what's around us. We aren't safe because we can't see what's coming to get us. Now, you can be sitting in your bedroom with the lights out, totally safe, and you still feel scared.
Because you don't know.
Because you don't know.
You don't know.
What's hiding in the dark? You don't know.
Socks.
Yeah, but what if they're monster socks?
Yeah.
Or if they're a monster, just in general.
Looking for socks?
It starts as a kid, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you're laying there in the dark, and, like, you know, your imagination's running wild.
That's the thing.
Could be anything.
The imagination. See, if you would just stop imagining things, everything would be fine.
Yeah.
Right?
But then you wouldn't be a child anymore.
Yeah, so, but you wouldn't be scared.
Would you? You'd be scared of other things.
Maybe.
I think as a kid, it's a lot easier to believe in that stuff. The scary stuff that's made up in your mind. The monsters and such. And that's where it comes from.
Were you ever scared of monsters?
Aren't you?
No. I'm scared. I'm not scared of the dark. I'm scared of the potential of darkness.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of it's the potential. Like,
it's not about like it's. I don't tend to think about something that could be in the dark.
Right.
It's more what if there's nothing in the dark? What if there's just the dark?
Wait,
that creeps me out.
Go explain what you mean by that.
What if there's nothing?
You mean what if it's when the just, lights go out?
Yeah.
And there's darkness. Mm-hmm. Total darkness.
What if everything just disappears? Isn't that scary?
It is. It is, now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, imagine it.
But if I reach out and I touch something, it's there.
But maybe it's not really there. Maybe it's just, maybe that's, it's just sort of on the fringe of the darkness.
What?
So if you kept going a little bit further, you would fall into the darkness. But what if?
But what if you didn't?
Well, I guess you'd be okay then.
That's interesting. I never thought about that. So that's the potential, you say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let me think of another thing that people are scared of.
All right.
Okay.
Think of it.
I said it initially, ghosts. Yeah. Now, I want to make something clear. I don't believe in ghosts, but I'm still scared by them, of them. Because the idea of ghosts scares me. I just tapped the microphone. Sorry, folks. Maybe it was a ghost. No, but so the idea of like turning and seeing a ghastly figure floating in a room really freaks me out, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's...
Just keep your eyes closed. You're fine.
I don't think it's ever going to happen, but I can really like summon that visual in my head and scare myself quite a bit.
Is it always the same type of ghost that you see?
No, it's and it's not like I sit here and and like replay this scenario in my head over and over. I'm just saying I can quite easily freak myself out if I think on it, you know.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty common capability. Like, I think people, not to undermine your skills or anything, but I think a lot of people freak themselves out. I freak myself out too, thinking about similar things. I don't know that I've ever had an encounter with a ghost, but
what
I have had weird phenomena where two instances come to mind immediately.
Are you gonna creep me out right now?
I'm gonna creep you out.
I'm ready to get creeped.
I was a child, an adolescent.
Already creepy.
About 14.
Yep.
And
age of innocence. Age of lost innocence. Losing your innocence. You're growing up. You're becoming a man.
I was just taking a shower.
Still a boy. Still a boy.
Just hanging out at the house.
You're in the shower?
Yeah. I got into the shower. No one else was home. It's just me.
Oh.
I got into the shower.
Yeah.
And I heard something.
Yeah.
And I opened up the curtain, and I didn't see anything.
Okay.
And so I closed the curtain. And
just the furnace.
It was probably just the cat. We didn't have a cat! Oh, my God! Then a little bit later, I heard another thing, and I opened up the curtain, and I'm not seeing anything.
What are you hearing?
I don't know. I just it sounds like something moving or, you know.
In the bathroom?
Maybe, or maybe on the other side of the door.
All right.
I don't know. I'm just hearing something. Because you can't really hear things.
You're in
the shower.
Plus you're singing.
Right. So I turn off the shower water stream.
Yeah. All right.
And I'm standing there, and there's no water coming out of the shower.
All right.
But I hear water, and I open up the curtain, and the bathroom faucet's on.
What?
Yeah. How about that?
I was going to tell you, all right, when you started this story and when you continued it, I was like, this is not scary at all. You heard some dumb sound. Your house is settling. Mm-hmm. You know, you're hearing something that is, you know, a normal house sound, and you're a stupid 14-year-old. You're like, oh, I'm scared. But then the faucet was going.
I know. I was there.
Maybe there's a rational explanation.
I'm sure there is.
maybe
depending
the
on your
pressure,
what you consider rational,
the pressure caused by you suddenly turning the water off in the shower, you vigorously shut the faucet off, and the pressure from the water then pushed down the pipe
into the sink
and turned the faucet
and actually turned the handle
yes.
on the thing, right?
Yes. Uh-huh. Oh, I just yep.
Yeah.
I got creeped.
Uh-huh. See?
What's the next creepy?
Creepy.
You got another creepy one, right?
I do. It's not
creeps. Should we I want to hold on a second. Look, if you're listening, you might get creeped out on this episode.
I guess we should say that because we're talking about creepy stuff.
Creeps.
If you haven't figured that out
yeah.
from the title.
So you got a taste. You just got a taste.
A taste. Yeah, there it is. I hope you like it.
I'm easily creeped
Savor
out,
it.
So I'm probably not engaged for like how creeped out anyone else is.
I don't know that that's really all that creepy. I mean, I've heard of other stuff happening about.
Because I'm picturing, here's what I'm doing. All you describe is, you know, the faucet. I'm picturing a ghostly figure doing that.
Yeah, just kind of like standing there being Ooh. Like, making noise, not even touching the faucet, just kind of like making noise in the room and just waiting for me to open the curtain.
Disappears.
Yeah, and then he's like, well, what do I do now? I'm like,
Faucet,
yeah.
That'll keep him out.
He's like on his way out. He's
only
like,
14.
Crap, what am I gonna, I mean, it's a bathroom. What do you got in the bathroom? There's not
he's
much
like,
to work with.
He's got to go. And he's like, I got nothing to work with. He's only 14. This will scare him.
This will freak him out.
There we go. I don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
Then he leaves.
Very creepy.
All right. What's
so
your...
the second one, and this is around the same time. And there, I've heard that, like, poltergeisty activity, paranormal stuff like that, is frequently, it often occurs in environments that are. Where there's a lot of tension or, you know, where something else is usually going on.
Puberty.
One could associate tension with puberty.
You're 14.
I know.
You're going through a lot of changes.
Exactly.
You're finding hair in weird spots.
How did that get
your
there?
Your voice is...
Who turned on that faucet?
Voice is cracking,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You're breaking out.
I don't remember my voice cracking at that point.
It was, though.
Okay.
Sure.
Were you there?
Yeah, I was.
Did you turn on that goddamn show?
I was the guy. Anyway.
So, yeah, it was around the same time. So that could have had something to do with it. You know, it was a very, like, it was an uncertain time. It was, like, literally, like, I think the summer between junior high and high school.
Oh.
So, but okay. Later on that same summer, again, I'm at home all alone in the day, and I got a call from one of my parents. I think it was my dad, and he was asking about something in the backyard. And so I went out, I took the cordless phone and I take it outside.
Don't.
I open the back door, I go outside, and I hear this and I hear something like a voice or something.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, Dad, I think the lines got crossed. Because this used to happen.
Yeah, yeah, this is a thing.
In fact, a friend of mine used to actually force it to happen. He figured out a way. I can't remember how he did it. But like the right combination of buttons or something in the right place, you could actually force your signal to cross with another phone line.
Oh, interesting.
And then you could pick up somebody else's conversation. And sometimes they could hear you and sometimes they couldn't.
Oh.
So it was a lot of fun. Anyway, so I figured that's what had happened.
Our lines had
just gotten crossed. And I was like, I'll call you later, Dad. Turned off the phone, hung it back up on the little cradle.
You're
about
outside
my business.
Still?
No, I was back inside.
Oh, okay.
The rest of the day passes uneventfully.
Yeah.
And I go to call my dad back.
When?
I don't know, like 2 o'clock. The first call was like, I don't know, 9 o'clock or something.
In the morning?
Yeah.
Okay.
So then later on, I pick up the phone and I don't hear a dial tone.
Okay.
But I hear something.
Yeah.
And it sounds sort of like music. Like organ music or something. And I think, well, that's pretty weird that it's still stuck on that other line, but it's also kind of weird that it's music that's playing through there.
Yeah.
So I figure like, okay, I need to do like a hard reset on this thing, right? So I pull the thing out of the wall.
Oh my
I pull
God.
Pull the cord on the phone.
Uh-huh.
And I figure, all right, that's going to do it. That's going to restore this thing. I plug it back in. I plug the receiver back into the cradle. I pick it up again. And I'm hearing sounds. Still no dial tone, just music and weird sort of muffled speaking. And it's like...
Don't do that. Please stop. What's that?
That's the music in the background.
No, it didn't do that.
It did. It did. So I'm like, what is going on? I turn off the phone. I turn on the TV.
No, you... Okay. Don't.
The TV.
Don't.
The TV sound, NBC is coming through my phone. And that's what... I figured it out what it was. The signal from NBC was coming through the cordless phone. But here's where it got creepy. That was weird. Yeah. But it didn't get creepy until the picture comes on the screen, and it's Days of Our Lives.
Yeah.
And then I see what is going on Days of Our Lives. A character on Days of Our Lives was possessed by the devil. There was literally a storyline on Days of Our Lives with a character who was possessed, and she was speaking in this...
Oh, my God.
And she was coming through my phone.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And, of course, I'm like... It never, doesn't occur to me, like, you know, that this thing is maybe, you know, it's, like, on a battery charge or whatever. But yeah. I'm, like, I'm yanking the thing out of the wall, and it's still, like, the signal's still coming out of the phone. And I'm thinking,
oh man.
Yeah.
You seem concerned, Kristen.
What?
Too bad you weren't concerned about your husband when you began having sex with John behind his back.
Don't listen to it, Kristen.
Shut your ears to its blasphemy.
You can come stand by me, Kristen.
Yes, do that. You're two of a kind. You're a matched pair. You're both adulteresses. Sluts. Liars.
Actually stayed at a couple of hotels that were supposedly haunted, and it's I wondered about things. I didn't experience anything, but I wondered about it, and that's really, I think, what gets you going is when you start anticipating something happening.
The human brain is really good at finding what it wants to find in situations. So if you're in a situation where you're really freaked out and you're expecting something to happen or to see or hear something, your brain's like, I'll make that happen for you.
Or it will, it'll sort of complete that picture for you. It'll be like, okay, you're picturing a ghostly figure standing at the back door. I'm going to make that ghostly figure exactly 7.5 feet tall with clackety boots and...
Clackety boots?
You know, like clackety boots. I don't know.
Right.
It's not me, it's the imagination.
Getting back to ghosts.
Yeah.
So I went to a haunted place, the Limp Mansion in St. Louis.
One of the most haunted, supposedly most haunted structures in the United States.
Now I went there for a friend's birthday and we had dinner. And then the plan was to go on the tour.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how scared I get. Mm-hmm. And so I'm telling my friends, I'm like, I'm not going to go on the tour. I'll have the dinner. No problem. Mm-hmm. You know, I can eat in a haunted house, whatever, but I'm not going to go on the tour. And I was pretty adamant about this. However, by the end of the dinner, they'd convinced me, you know, go on the tour or whatever. So I tell them, okay.
Yeah. Way to stand your ground, Drew.
So the tour starts in the vault, like this giant safe.
Mm-hmm.
And, we go in there, we're sitting, you know, we're sitting these folding chairs.
Mm-hmm.
and a woman comes in, she's the tour guide, and she's like a volunteer. Mm-hmm. And what scared me in the end here, and I'm going to tell you, I'll tell you everything she did, but what scared me was her. The ghost stuff, well, that definitely would scare me. Like, I could think up a lot of stuff that would scare me. But what really scared me was this woman and the conviction in her voice, like how much she believed everything that she was saying, you know, and I think that's really scary, is when someone is completely convinced of something that you yourself are not, mm-hmm. right? And they show sort of a... It's one thing to be convinced and or confident about something. It's another thing to be, like, disturbingly so. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a crazy look in a person's eyes sometimes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we're sitting in this room, and she comes in and starts talking about the tour and the house and stuff like that, sort of giving the history of the house. And as I said, she just kind of has this look in her eye of just, not, she's not all there.
Mm-hmm.
But there's definitely, like, this conviction in what she's saying. And she tells us, you know, a bunch of stories of her experiences with the ghosts. And she says, I'm actually very close to one of them. I'm going to see if I can get him to come in here and interact with us. Mm. I'm like, and I'm starting to, like, I'm getting creeped out because she's so, like, she closes her eyes. And she's, I forget the ghost's name. Let's say Todd.
Okay.
She's like.
1D or 2?
I'm guessing 2.
Ooh.
So she closed her eyes, sort of leans her head back a bit. And she's like, Todd, are you there? Todd? And this is the creepiest thing, right? Mm-hmm. This woman who is.
Genuinely seems to be listening for Todd.
She's at least in her 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she looks like a you know. Midwest mother, you know, plain normal looking person, mm-hmm. if you saw her in the grocery store. But now her head's back and she's calling out to a spirit. And then Todd shows up, and Todd's she's like, hello, and she's like, no, she's like talking to him, and she,
oh, hey, Todd.
Oh, hey. Oh, hey, you want to talk to these people? No, I mean, none of us can see Todd or hear Todd, but she can. And at one point, she sort of, like, stumbles as though she's been pushed. And she says, don't push me. Don't push me, Todd. And I'm like, this is crazy. I am getting... And I'm just sort of, like, looking around. and she sort of have this... She has this interaction with Todd, and it's whatever. Then she gets out some dowsing rods, which are used to find sources of energy or sources of water. You know, and I think anything could be a dowsing rod.
Hmm.
But she's got basically hangers that have been unbended or rebent into, like, L shapes. So if you take the L shape and you hold it by the short part,
mm-hmm.
so that you're kind of, like, got a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And what she said you do is you hold it, and you just hold it loosely in your hand, and it'll naturally sort of point one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And so she holds it and shows how it points one way or the other, and I'm like, she's moving it with her hands, and it's me in my head. And
she's moving it with her ghostly powers.
Yeah, she's using her ghost powers to move it. Big deal. Then she starts telling stories about other ghosts that she's interacted with and how she, like, spent the night once, and... she slept on the couch and she woke up and the dead, like, limp, like, the main dude is, like, standing over her and starts just, like, yelling at her.
Ooh.
And this is where I'm like, all right, I'm done. I'm not going to go on the tour. And she finishes the story and I raise my hand and she's like, yes. And I'm like, I don't think I'm going to go on the tour. If you want to keep the $20, that's fine, but this just isn't for me. And she seemed so taken aback. I guess this has never happened. This is without precedent.
Wow, trendsetter.
I know. And she goes, oh, okay. Is there anyone else who doesn't feel like they can go on the tour? And there was this couple sitting in front of us, and the woman in the couple says, well, we can leave whenever we want, right? And, like... the tour guide gets, mm-hmm. She just gets this serious look on her face, and she says, oh no, because the staff is all left, and so I have to lock the front door when we start the tour, and I can't leave the people alone in the house to walk you out, so you have to leave now or go on the whole tour. And in my head I'm like, yep, I'm leaving. I am not going on this tour. And so the woman who asked the question was like, oh, okay. I guess we'll go on the tour.
Mm-hmm. So you were the only one who didn't go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, everyone else went. Hmm. And I left. And I was creeped out enough just walking out of there.
Yeah, did you have to walk out by yourself?
No, the staff was still there, but they were leaving. And so I walked out and I walked briskly to my car. But it creeped me out. And what really creeped me out was her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I saw no ghosts.
Right.
And my friend called me later after the tour was done.
He was like, man, that was so lame. I should have left with you.
He was like, you know, I asked him, how was it? And he said, it was okay. You know, nothing happened. And you know what else she had said on this tour? They were going to have a dark experience, which meant that they were going to go just turn out the lights. And turn out all the lights.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't do it. And I'm not ashamed of that. I'm proud to say I didn't do it. But that's the how crazy a person can be. That's scary. Mm. Mm-hmm. And not to say that if you believe in ghosts, you're crazy, but this woman seemed crazy.
That is a good, transition point there. Crazy.
Crazy.
Crazy. Because you're right. And I think that while I don't think I've ever really totally feared for my life at any conscious point, you know, but I've come close in interactions with people. A couple of people that just seemed like a little bit
off,
just a little bit off, and just off enough that like I really, you know, could not anticipate what their next move was going to be. Yeah. And, you know, you never know.
Yeah. It's scary to think what someone can do without any inhibitions or concept of reality, you know, and I think what's even scarier is the thought of oneself going crazy, the loss of sanity or cognition, or like that's pretty freaky.
Have you ever had an experience where you didn't feel like you were totally in control? Or
well, yes, but not.
You didn't feel like somebody else had taken control.
No. Have you?
No, I don't think so. What are you kidding?
I mean, you know, to a very, very, very slight degree, when you get drunk or something.
Yeah.
And there's a sort of that. Well, it's not so much that you lose control, but you're just a little
things
less...
happen and you don't necessarily like one thing isn't necessarily connected to the other.
Yeah, exactly.
And I guess in the right circumstances, that can be scary.
Yeah. Something that is very, very scary for me, and we were talking about this yesterday a bit, is sleep paralysis. Mm. And you said you fear paralysis.
Mm-hmm.
I suffer from sleep paralysis, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
For those who don't know, this is when essentially your mind wakes up during REM sleep. Right. So it's the deepest.
So you don't have any time to transition right. out of it.
When you're in REM sleep, your body's paralyzed, mm-hmm. essentially. So you don't thrash around. And some people don't become paralyzed in REM sleep. These are like sleepwalkers or,
right, right.
or you know, other things. That, and you'll thrash around. You'll sort of act out what you're doing in your dream, and mm-hmm. it's dangerous. So that's why your body kind of paralyzes itself, right? So sleep paralysis is when your mind wakes up right from REM sleep and you can't move. And what accompanies the paralysis, and I read it was like 99% of people who experience sleep paralysis, what accompanies that is an intense fear, mm-hmm. and it's like a primal fear. You don't know what you're afraid of, but you're scared. Mm-hmm. So I've had this happen. It used to have me all the time, like 3 times a week.
Wow.
And you know, I would essentially wake up, but I didn't know that I had ever fallen asleep. And I'm, you know, lying in bed, and essentially it's quiet. It's very, very quiet. And it gets so quiet that it's sort of deafening.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Like mm-hmm. the quiet's in my ears.
Yeah.
And that's when I start to feel the fear, right? Builds up inside of me. And, the longer I'm under like this, the more scared I get. And the more I think that something's coming, right? Mm-hmm. I'm expecting something to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And usually what I'm able to do is sort of like finally wrench myself free of the paralysis and kind of wake up completely.
Okay.
You know, I can get an arm to move or something.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a couple occasions where I did not do that in time. The one that was the most frightening was it was one of the earliest times that ever happened, and I'm lying there trying to wake
force
myself.
Force yourself.
Yeah,
awake.
Force myself to move, and a little demon appeared above me, just sort of like floating there.
Mm-hmm.
Right above me in bed, right? And it pointed at me. It started to say something. And that's when I pulled myself awake.
Wow. Do you know what it was starting to say?
No. I don't.
Oh, man.
and then...
what if it was just like, Drew, right?
Yes.
This isn't Chicago, is it?
No.
I'm in the wrong place.
Yeah, I think you are.
All right, later.
See ya. No. The other time it happened, so my bedroom was laid out to where my bed was against more like my head is against the wall, mm-hmm. right? And then the room sort of forms a U shape around my bed. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And the door into the room, if I'm lying in bed, is on the left wall, right mm-hmm. at the corner. So it's where the wall across from me meets the left wall.
So if you turn to your left, you are
I see
the door. Okay.
So, you know, sleep paralysis happens. I realize what's going on. I start to get really freaked out and trying to, you know, pull myself awake
mm-hmm.
when the door gets flung open forcefully, and a dark, like, shadow figure stomps into the room.
Oof.
Like a man. Like a man. No, it was a man.
Don't stomp like a ghost. Do it like a man.
It was a shadow.
That's what you're saying in your dream.
Hey,
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
No, this shadowy, like, male figure flings the door open, stomps into the room across the back wall, and then turns and walks towards me, stomping the whole time. It's like you when you're listening to Metallica.
Right.
And he comes right up to the bed, and that's when I, like, pull myself awake before anything can happen.
And then he just sort of disappears.
Yeah, and then I'm – so essentially once I wake up, in quotes, because mm-hmm. I'm already kind of awake, I just have this – the fear is lingering, but I know that, you know, I'm out of it.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. And it's actually really hard to kind of like pull myself together mm-hmm. enough to, you know, turn a light on or, you know, go back to sleep or whatever. I've had other similar things, where, like, I've had a dream where, and I'm pretty sure this was a dream and not sleep paralysis, because there was, I was in a classroom, and I was taking notes, right? The teacher's up there doing stuff on the chalkboard.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those rolling chalkboards that you could flip whole thing over. So teacher's up there writing, and I'm, like, taking notes just kind of mindlessly. And then I realize, like, what I'm writing is this demonic speech. And I look up, and, like, there's a devil standing there.
Yeah.
And he starts, like, spouting demon speech at me. And this is the only time I've ever been, like, defiant in a dream like this.
Mm.
But I stood up and essentially, like, started cursing this demon out.
In demon speak or in English?
Human speak, in English. And I flung the desk away from me and was, like, yelling at this. And then I woke up.
Oh, wow.
And I was pretty proud of myself.
Nice. Yeah. Good going. Unfortunately, he probably couldn't understand what
you were
saying.
No, he didn't speak English.
Right.
He only spoke demon.
Mm.
So too bad for him.
Maybe next time.
Yeah. But nightmares are scary.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Nightmares.
I am in a weird position where I don't ever remember my dreams. And I don't mean, like, ever, but, like, it's so rare. Maybe once a year, twice a year kind of thing.
Get a good memory.
Yeah. But for the most part, they just, and I think it's probably, some of my friends have joked that it's probably because I'm not actually getting any REM sleep. But I had one horrible nightmare.
One horrible nightmare.
Oh, what a nightmare. One terrible, terrible nightmare when, I don't know, I was probably like 17 or 18.
Yep.
And I was in this old warehouse, that was sort of literally falling apart around me.
Yeah.
And I remember my vision, in my mind, my vision was sort of like askew.
Yeah.
Like, so everything was sort of like at a slanted angle,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So it was just sort of very trippy. And I was trying to find, I think I was trying to get out of this warehouse, and I was trying to figure out how to get out, you know?
Yeah.
And I just kept looking, like, there were holes in the floor. I would look through the floor and just see another floor below me, or I'd look above me and I'd see another floor above me. Like, I couldn't seem to find a way out. And every few minutes, there was, like, noise and stuff, and and it felt like everything was moving around me, and then every few minutes everything would just stop.
Oh.
And then all of a sudden, from the ceiling,
what,
these little dangly skeletons would come out, like the kind of thing that you, like, you know, hang on a door or something, you know, around Halloween.
Yeah,
these things would slide through the floorboards, like dozens of them above me.
Yeah.
And then they would just start laughing.
Oh.
They would just start giggling.
Were, like, they, like,
yeah. Like, sort of like ventriloquist dummy kind of laughter, you know? And they would just be like, and it would get really loud, and they would sort of overlap each other.
Oh, my
And then
gosh.
All of a sudden, they would just stop. They would be, like, cut silent, and their head would kind of just go slack to one side. And then they would all just slowly slide back up into the ceiling.
That is,
into the
floor. You know, it's funny because it's really funny on one hand.
I know,
like,
yeah,
the way it's described. But then it's also really creepy.
Yeah.
It's both.
Yeah. I think the best things are the scariest stuff is, like, completely absurd, and
you could
when
laugh.
You look at it in one light, it's absolutely ridiculous. But
you look at it in another light,
yeah,
and it's totally creeptastic.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was the silence.
That's what does it.
When it wasn't so much the laughter, it was when they were suddenly cut off.
And they went slack.
Yeah. That was what creeped me out.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's scary. Here's something that is totally creepy.
Yeah.
This is like something that makes something creepy. Ooh. When you see something, and it's also something that makes stuff funny. When you see something from very far away, and especially if you see it through a window, like not your behind a window, but like, let's say you're standing out in a field.
Uh-huh. Oh, and you look
at
see
a
window.
House.
Yeah.
And there's a window.
Yeah.
And there's something in the window.
You see something in the window?
That's scary.
It is scary. I think a part of it, I think, is because, one, we've been conditioned to expect that there's got to be something wrong there. Like, you know, we...
Something wrong behind the window?
Yeah. Like, ooh. I think...
Why are we conditioned that way?
I think
is it that
because it's
voyeur?
Such an easy... Well, maybe. That's maybe part of it. Like, you know, we sort of feel guilty for looking.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, you know, that's somebody else's space. Why am I looking there, yeah. You know? But I think it's also that we don't know what's... We don't.
There's potential,
right? It's our vision is finite. Like yeah. It only goes to the window, and it's only encompasses whatever's around
and
us and between us.
Who
and the
knows
window.
What's happening in that?
But
room.
But we don't know what's in the room. Yeah.
And at any moment, it could be revealed to us.
Yes.
What's happening in that room?
Right. It could suddenly come up to that window.
Suddenly, a woman streaks past the window.
Yeah.
And behind her. A man with a knife.
Creepy. Yeah, it's that lack of knowledge.
I don't like thinking about it.
But you totally hit on that voyeur element though, and that totally reminded me of another story. This wasn't really that scary, but it definitely played into that. I was at a hockey game one time,
yeah,
and I was kind of bored, and I'm kind of like looking around. I've got binoculars because we're up in the nosebleed yeah. seats, you yeah. know, and I'm just like, I'll just start looking at people, you know. And so I'm just like looking at people in the stands, you know, that were watching the game because they're different, you know. It's not all the guys playing hockey are doing the exact same thing. They're mm-hmm. all skating back and forth, hitting a puck.
Yeah.
But sorry if you like hockey, but and people in the people who are watching the game are all in various different states. You know, some of them are talking to each other, yeah. some of them are sleeping, some of them are eating, some you know.
Yeah.
So I'm like looking at all of them. And I'm way up there. I'm in like the third or fifth row from the very top.
Uh-huh.
And this is a full size, you know, hockey arena. And I'm looking down at the people who are along the glass,
mm-hmm.
like right front row, first row,
across,
right next
like,
to the glass.
Like, can you see their faces or are you behind them?
I'm sort of to their side.
Like, okay.
I'm sort of in the corner and I'm looking on the side,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
like straight ahead
gotcha.
For me. And I'm just like sort of scanning up the length of the rink.
Okay.
And I'm literally like, I'm moving like two or three, you know, seconds,
yeah.
whatever. I'm just kind of moving it up. And the minute this guy comes into my vision within the binoculars,
yeah.
like the very second
yeah.
he comes into my field of vision, he looks at me.
Oh.
He's looking at the ice rink, and then I scan up, and he comes into the yeah. viewfinders, and
he
then
turns.
He turns, no. and he looks at me.
No.
And it's like, this guy is like, he's the length of, you know, a football field
yeah.
or whatever away from me, and yet he knows,
oh
like, he
God.
Knows that I'm looking at him.
Did he continue to look at you?
He did.
For how long?
Well, I mean, I turned away eventually. I gave maybe 2 seconds.
Oh,
like,
my
I lingered there for a minute because my mind is sort of going like,
what?
He must just be looking at, no, he's looking at me.
Yeah.
And then I was like, whoosh, move the binoculars
wow.
elsewhere. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Creepy.
Reminds me of like when if you're watching television or mm-hmm. a movie when mm-hmm. the characters look directly at the camera,
uh-huh.
you know, if they address the audience in the right situation, like obviously if it's a lighthearted thing or
right,
it's not scary, but like when you're not expecting it or in a strange moment, if they look directly at camera, it's really freaky
because yeah.
they're looking at you,
yes,
and you're looking at them,
yeah. And it's like, and in that moment, they're acknowledging that.
Oh my God.
It's like they acknowledge your reaction.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
Stop it.
Yes, they do.
Stop. That movie, The Ring.
Yeah. Which, now, the American one or the Japanese one?
I think it's the American one.
Okay.
I didn't see the Japanese one. Creepy movie.
Mm-hmm.
It totally did creep me out. I don't know why I watched it, because I don't like being scared like that. But I think I watched it with my sister. Like, we had just sort of decided to watch it for no middle of the day too. We're like, we're safe.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So we're watching this movie, and you know, it's got some definitely creepy moments. But the creepiest moment for me was the, you know, there's the video in that,
right,
where the people watch the video and they die 7 days later,
yeah,
or something. Well, in the video is a random series of, like, you know, like a couple of second clips, right?
Yeah, just sort of mishmash of images, things, yeah.
Which on its own is creepy enough,
right?
But there's a moment where, oh my god, I don't even want to think about it, where a woman's like combing her hair in the mirror, and uh-huh, she looks like into the mirror at the camera.
You?
Oh my god! And I'm just like, no, don't look at me. You don't know. And what makes it, actually, what kind of kills the movie for me, spoiler alert,
mm-hmm,
if you haven't seen The Ring, I'm going to talk about the very end.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give you a second to pause it or something. All right. So this didn't freak me out. What kind of ruined the whole movie for me was at the end when the girl crawls out of the television.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, like, I'm no longer scared because it's ridiculous,
right,
to me. I mean, what was scared in the moment before that she crawls out was she comes out of the well.
Right.
Which you've seen over and over. You've seen the image of this well over, mm-hmm, and over, and it's always just been shut, and you're like, what the heck?
Yeah.
And then suddenly, like, the thing opens and she crawls out.
Yeah.
That was creepy enough. And then she crawls out of TV, and I'm like, that's dumb.
Yeah.
But what kind of makes it scary or creepy is when you think back to when the woman brushing her hair acknowledges you, the viewer,
mm-hmm,
and you're like, oh my god, she can come out of the TV at me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, there's that moment where you it forces you to confront the possibility,
ugh,
that what, yeah, the fact, stop, the her ability to leave one dimension,
we can't talk,
and go into another within the movie, could that extend to your dimension?
I got so
our
many
dimension
creeps right now.
Yeah.
I got so here, many chills.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because
on my back.
On your back?
Yeah, I could feel the creeps.
Ooh.
You know, you feel like someone's behind you.
I have never, I cannot recall up until very recently ever having the experience of, like, the hair standing on my back.
Ooh,
like,
okay.
Literally feeling like
the
that
creeps,
that super, yeah, tense creep. Up until recently, it had never happened to me.
What happened?
I actually, a movie did it, a recent
what movie.
The Woman in Black.
I didn't see that.
With Harry Potter.
Oh, you're a wizard, Harry.
Yeah.
Did they say that in the
they
movie?
They don't, no. His name's not Harry in the movie.
What's
I forget
his name?
What his name is. Peter or something.
You're a wizard, Peter.
Peter. Yeah. Creepy movie. Very creepy movie.
What's a creepy moment from it?
There were a few that really did it for me. It pretty much always involved the woman in black.
Yeah, she's
obviously
black.
There was
out of season, right? I mean, that's what's scary about it.
Yeah, yeah. She's totally wearing it like in the dead of summer. No, the I don't wanna explain too much about it.
Yeah, don't explain too much. I'll never see it.
Okay. Well, in the storyline, there are some deceased children.
Dead kids.
Yes. And they are so, the village believes, because of the woman in black. They think that she's taking
alive?
Their children. No.
They
don't believe so, yeah. They think that she is dead. But somehow, through some supernatural force, she's compelling the children to situations where they are endangered and ultimately die.
Gotcha.
So there's this legacy of dead children, and there is a moment in the movie where all of a sudden, all of those dead children appear. And that is...
What do they do?
That is terrifying. They basically just sort of threaten with their presence.
Oh.
You know, it's like you can tell that they're not there to be
is
like,
Harry,
hey, everything's okay.
Is Harry like in a room? He like turns around. There's like a bunch of dead kid seeing?
No, I think the first instance it happened, it was from afar. Like, he was sort of looking out of a window onto the ground, and they were there. And there's another instance where he's, I don't remember if it was him, but someone is looking through glass, through a clear...
Pane of glass,
and I'm not going to say the circumstances, but... it's the kind of thing where you look once and there's nothing there, and you look again and suddenly there's all these dead kids there. Yeah, very, very creepy.
Oh, man. But
that concept, I mean, obviously a bunch of dead kids is a creepy concept.
Sure.
But really any sort of horde or crowd
is a swarm.
Creepy. Yeah.
A swarm. And I think
it happens, it's more so if
I think if they're, well... I shouldn't interrupt you.
Well, I think either if they there is the presumed lack of motivation there, like if you get the sense that there's nothing going on in their minds, or if you get the sense that they're all thinking the same thing, that's when it's creepy. It's like if it's just a bunch of people and you don't.
Yeah,
there doesn't seem to be any connection to them. Then that's maybe not such a creepy thing. But it's like when they all seem intent on the same purpose
and inactive,
I think.
And not doing anything,
inert,
just there. That is it. That's all you need.
Yeah.
So staying on this creepy movie track, the creepy movie tack.
Yeah.
So the Blair Witch Project is not a scary movie.
It depends, I guess.
It's not scary. It's stupid. But
this is your self-defense mechanism here.
No, I mean, I watched this movie. You know, you'd heard so much about it. And I remember when it came out, there was the claim that... Have we talked about this before?
I don't know that we did.
I think we talked about it on the movies, the monster movies, didn't we?
I don't think we did.
Are you sure?
Maybe we did just a little bit, but...
I apologize if we're repeating this.
Yeah, well,
edit it. When it came out... Yeah, you can edit it out if you... Yeah. What, are you going to listen to monsters again?
Yeah, maybe.
When it came out, there was the whole claim that it was found footage.
Uh-huh.
Right, and I never bought that for a second because I saw the girl who was in the trailers in a Steak and Shake commercial.
Right.
I was like, she's fine.
Yeah.
But so I guess that's what makes the majority of the movie scary for people
is they believe that it's real.
They believe it's real. And
that's interesting.
And so I'm watching it with the knowledge that it's not real.
Mm-hmm.
And it just annoys me because like these three idiots argue the whole time and make the dumbest decisions, you know, ever.
Mm-hmm.
And don't just like, I don't know. They
set themselves on fire.
Yeah.
And wait for a helicopter to find them. Yeah, I know. I was thinking the same thing.
But, again, spoiler alert. I'm on top of the very end of this movie, like last shot of this movie, where, suddenly towards the end of the movie, things kind of pick up. Like, there's sudden action. Mm-hmm. And they find the Blair Witch's house, they think, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they go inside and they kind of...
Or it was the guy's house.
Whose house?
The one guy who had been accused of killing a bunch of kids.
They found a house.
Yeah.
Now, early in the film, they've interviewed all these locals about what's the Blair Witch and what's it all about. And one of the, I think, locals had said, what she does is she gets these kids and she kills them one by one. And while she's killing one, she makes the other stand in the corner.
Mm-hmm. And look away.
And look away.
And face into the corner. Yeah.
I'm getting creeped out.
Yeah,
we're talking about it. Because the last shot, what happens? They go in this house and they split up, which is a great idea.
Right.
One
of them's just scared. He's freaked out to the point that he's sort of lost his mind. He's just running.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, and he goes downstairs, and the girl, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's upstairs. She's yelling for him and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think he calls out to her like, "I'm in the basement."
Yeah.
She goes down to the basement, and the last shot of the movie is you see him standing in the corner.
Yeah.
And then the camera's dropped, and that, I think, it cuts out.
Like, aggressively. It's like she's attacked. The implication is that she's attacked. Yeah.
And that one scene at the very end is totally creepy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That is a terrifying sequence. Well, and they build it up, too, because you go... that there's no sign of any like structures or anything throughout most of the movie. It's just them in the woods.
Yeah.
And then they get to that house and you're thinking like, this can't be good.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is. And it's really just an old rotted house.
Yeah.
And you don't, there's really like nothing there, I think, for most of what you see.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like out of nowhere, you start seeing these little kid handprints all over the walls.
Yeah.
And that like, that right there is, ooh, what's going on? And then you get to the... And the great thing about that last shot, too, is that you don't immediately recognize what you're seeing.
Yeah.
Like, you just see some grainy, indistinct things there. And then you realize what it is, that it's that guy staring at the corner. And then you have the connection. You're like, oh, staring at the corner.
Yeah.
And, like, right at that moment, that's when the camera gets knocked to the ground. And, yeah, totally.
Do you think the whole movie is to have that resonate? That
I
moment?
Think part of it is. I think it only works because
of how bad the rest of the movie is.
Well, not so much that it's bad, but that it's
so nothing happens.
Innocuous. Yeah,
there is nothing happening. I mean, there's a few moments like when they're in the tent and stuff's happening and it's silly.
Yeah,
but
it has to. There has to be that escalation. I think there, you have to have that. It's interesting you mentioned that you think the reason that it was so scary for some people was because they thought it was real.
Yeah,
I had read magazine articles about the making of the movie.
Yeah.
Prior to going in, so I knew it was not real. I mean, I knew the entire production and everything like that, but just reading about the storyline that they had concocted and how they went about crafting that backstory, that alone creeped me out.
Yeah.
Like I got creeped out reading the magazine article.
Well, and they didn't tell the actors a lot of what was going to happen, right?
Yeah.
They were like, you know, they had to improv a lot of it, didn't they?
Yeah. They knew that like something was going to happen in the scene they were shooting, but they didn't know what.
Right.
Yeah.
And they didn't know when.
Right.
Yeah. Which, you know, it's interesting. So I guess some of the reactions are realistic.
Yeah. That's a proven tactic. I think there are a couple of instances, the original Alien.
Yeah.
The very first Alien, the scene where the alien first appears.
They didn't know what was going to happen, right?
They knew that something, they knew that, okay, something's going to happen to this character.
Yeah.
But they didn't know what, and they had never seen the actual
that's pretty
puppet
awesome.
Or whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
An incredible moment. Yeah. Can you imagine being in that scene and that happens? And what's his name? John Hurt.
Yeah.
He's does an amazing performance of having something burst out of his chest.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like it's happened before.
Yeah.
Like, he really sells it.
Oh, man. That movie, the first Alien is pretty creepy, too, you know? And it's definitely more a horror film than any of the other ones.
Yeah.
I think mainly it's because you'd never really see the whole monster, the whole alien, which is primarily because they didn't think it looked good on film.
Right.
Because it was a guy in a suit and they couldn't really get the proportions right, from what I understand. And so it was better to show parts of it, you know, and sort of like grease it up so it was really shiny and kind of, you know, obviously alien.
Hard to distinguish.
Looking. Yeah. Yeah. You could never tell what it was.
Yeah.
Completely, like how many arms did it have? What was its head? Where was that a tail? You know, and so you sort of only ever get these glimpses, and much like, you know, the shark and Jaws or any other monster movie or something where you only see a piece of it. It's a lot scarier because your mind fills everything else in.
Yeah,
I remember seeing the original Haunting for the first time.
Yeah,
and the girl I was dating at the time convinced me to watch it and said, you know, this is way scarier than the remake. Because I think we had seen the remake.
Oh,
and man, that's scary in a different way. But the Haunting, the original Haunting is really creepy because they never show the ghost ever.
Yeah.
Ever. You only hear it or you see them reacting.
Yeah.
You see other people's reaction to what they're seeing.
Yeah.
Which is usually a lot scarier. And one of the scariest moments in the whole movie was this moment where they're like trying to leave the house. They're in a car and they're like, we're getting out of here. And they're driving. And I think it's a POV shot from the person driving. Mm-hmm. And this white figure suddenly dashes out across the road, like out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And it's like you're primed at this point to expect to see a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And so this like stark white figure suddenly appears and you're like, oh my God. And what it is, it's like a person. I think they might hit the person.
Eleanor, I think.
Do they kill her?
Yeah.
Spoiler.
Yeah. Sorry.
But yeah, you never once you see the ghost in that original one.
Yeah.
And it makes it that much scarier. And then the remake, they see it's the stupidest.
Wasn't it like black ink or something? It was like some,
I don't know, but you see the ghost. Eventually they do a CG kind of big stupid ghost.
Terrible.
It's totally not terrible scary idea at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. What you can't see, what your mind can fill in.
Yeah.
Again, it comes back to your brain.
The implication is always scarier and more disturbing.
Oh, yeah. Because you know exactly what scares you. Like, your brain knows exactly how to scare you.
Yeah.
And so to let your brain do all the work, like give you just a granule. A granule?
Granule.
That a word?
Granule.
That's what I said, right?
Not granule. But granule.
Granule.
Yeah.
To give you just a granule of a thought, right?
Uh-huh.
An idea.
A grain of thought.
Plant.
If you will.
A grain, a seed. Plant the seed of an idea of something that could be scary, and your brain will water that seed until it's a giant scary tree.
Ooh, yeah.
Scary roots.
Yeah. Yeah, scary roots.
What was it? The roots of the scary tree.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, there was, I have another kind of scary thing in this. There was an album I had of music.
Uh-huh.
I think the band was Homegrown.
Mm-hmm.
They were pop punk.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, bands a lot of times will do bonus tracks. So if you let the last track play long enough, something will, you know, be like a song or something.
Yeah.
Well, they had put, I think it was them, it may have been someone else. Oh, there's two examples of this. So they, and one of theirs, they had put much, you know, really far into the track, just laughter.
Just like that? Just like that?
It's really weird laughter. And I once fallen asleep with this thing going.
Oh, no.
And the laughter woke me up. And I was like, what's happening? But another one, I think it was Newfound Glory. Put a secret track at the end of a song that was like a demon voice of them like doing all this crazy stuff, and I fell asleep with that once and it woke me up.
You just gotta stop listening.
I know. Another example of music being scary, there's you know, ELO.
Yeah,
they have a song that my dad used to play it. It would scare the crap out of me. It's called Fire on High. Mm-hmm. And it's actually an awesome song. Mm-hmm. I really love the song, but it starts with this speech that's been reversed. And it's this really disturbing guy. And he's like, snap. And this horrible like orchestral music is playing behind him, and he's yelling this weird, these words you can't, you know, you don't know what he's saying, and then he gets really close to the microphone and he recites some passage, and then it gets into the music, and the music's great. My dad told me what the reversed speech is, and it's something like turn back. And then it says something about clocks can't be, like, you can't turn back time. There's something, if I could turn back time. It's not that. But but it's something of like that. We should put it in here.
Okay.
If you could put it in, it'll freak everybody out. Turn back. That's what it does. This is horrible reverse music. I hate reversed speech.
Yeah, it's always creepy.
It can be creepy.
I guess we should put this one in the archive before we scare ourselves.
You go
anymore.
In there. I'm not going in there.
Well, why do I gotta go in?
Oh, we're going together.
All right.
But you're going first.
What?
And I'm leaving first. All right?
Last in, first out.
That's
you
me.
You jerk.
Go, put it in the archive. Ha 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 ha!